All right. Hey, Kevin Barker. 6-2, my Toronto Blue Jays beating the New York Mets at the Rogers Centre. The three-game series is now tied up with one game apiece. The numbers, as always, to call on this Blue Jays talk, 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. And because I'm in such a good mood tonight, I'm going to let you send a text if you want. 590-590
is
the text.
Wow.
How about that?
Who are you?
Hey, how about that? How about that? I mean, it's one of those rare nights where I got nothing to complain about, Bark. I got nothing to complain about.
Yeah, look, I you know, everybody was rooting and yelling, screaming for David Schneider. I was too. Like, I wanted him to get a hit. You can tell he's got front side pull. He's chasing hits. Like, you can see it. I mean, everybody that struggled at the big league levels, that's sort of the way it looks. And to see him get a big two out, two RBI double to right center field, that's a big deal. I mean, hopefully, you know, that sort of keeps him locked in, gets him better pitches to hit. You know, he's sort of the right-handed Varsho. Like, Varsho, we've seen this, right? Front side pull, trying to pull everything. It sort of took you struggling, you know, in and out of the lineup a little bit to sort of think, you know, I got to start using the other way a little bit more, keeping the front side in. Head on the, you know, you can't hit what you can't see, Jeff. I mean, it's baseball hitting 101. Just sort of follow the ball, kind of trying to hit the bat. And if you do that because you have talent, you're in the big leagues, gives you a better chance. So I was pulling for him. Good for him to get a hit, sort of get off the schneid. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, it wasn't, we love home runs.
We love
home runs. But, you know, watching this team go 6-for-18 with runners in scoring position and kind of cobble together innings, I like watching that as well. I mean, there's two ways to go about doing this. Either you bludgeon teams to death with home runs, or you have good approaches and you come up with timely hitting. And that's what we saw tonight. And we saw it in the bottom of the order. And that's, again, something you've talked about, something Dan Schulman talked about today as well. Guys are taking advantage of their opportunities. Joey Loperfido's taking advantage of opportunities, which is what, I mean, we can sit here and complain about the, like, what, 69-77 is not a great record.
Nope.
But guys are taking advantage of opportunities.
Yeah, look, I think it's happened a little bit because of small ball, right? Varsho in the third inning there leading off with that bunt single. Put it in the hands of the pitcher most of the time. You know, just because they're not used to fielding those balls, bad things can happen and help you out a little. Sort of started a little bit of a rally, and then Schneider ended it with the big two-out RBI. And Loperfido, you mentioned that, like his swings – like, he doesn't look as tense at the plate. He doesn't look like he's chasing hits. Like, he, you know, looks like he's hitting behind the baseball. It looks to me like he's pointing something out left center. Sort of that's the direction he's trying to have his barrel end up, which is a big deal, right? The longer your barrel stays in the zone, the better chance you got of making contact and having success. So, you know, Horowitz with another good night, right? He's sort of all of a sudden turning into an impactful bat. You know, how can you keep him out of the lineup? Ernie Clement, looked at things he's doing against the fastball. I mean, he's backspinning triples the other way from tough righties, throwing two-seamers at high velocity. Like, there's things being done, Jeff. I mean, again, they need to clean some things up, and by no means can you have every single one of these dudes on your team. But, yeah, like, you what's that saying, hungry dogs run faster? I think that's sort of what you're seeing from these guys.
Ha-ha. I never heard that saying before.
Well,
stay tuned. I generally think that it's the things that the hungry dogs are chasing that run faster than the
same thing.
416-870. I mean, that must be one of those West Virginia. Oh, sorry, one of those Virginia things. 416-870-0590, star 590, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is a text line. 6-2, the Toronto Blue Jays have beaten the New York Mets. The Jays continue to play a pivotal role in the National League wildcard hunt. The Braves have won tonight. Yes, Mr. Barker.
Jeff, before you go on, that is the nastiest, is that a word, I have ever seen Hennessy Cabrera. I mean, that thing was coming out hot. I mean, I've said this to you a bazillion times. As long as he doesn't go out there and try and embarrass everybody because he's got filthy stuff and he's left-handed, like he's going to get dudes out.
We've seen the velocity
tick. That's the filthiest we've seen him look.
We've seen the velocity tick up in him. From him in recent games too.
Yeah, I think he's pitching more. I think he's getting in a little routine that he's going to be in some high leverage innings. He's getting the other team's tough lefty. He knows it. He's prepared for it. The more you pitch, the better your stuff is. Like
all of a sudden
they found their new Tim Mesa. Are you kidding me?
Well, hopefully he's
Timmy of a couple of years ago was pretty filthy.
Yeah, I mean the only thing is his. Yeah, and Hennessy Cabrera brings a little more fire to the mound than Tim Mesa
like
did, which is good. What?
He don't like you when he throws to you.
Who?
Hennessy Cabrera. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we
Not
talked
about you personally.
Well, he
the
probably doesn't like me, either, but that's okay.
Complete.
He can take a freaking number. I don't give a rat's ass. I'm not doing
not
this job to be
Not always about
liked.
You, big fella. Okay.
I'm not doing this job to be like, trust me. I'm sure that's obvious to people. All kidding aside, though, we talked about this before we did our show Monday, and we were talking about Hennessy Cabrera getting involved in it with the Braves, and we both kind of said, I know that, don't look at the dugout and da-da. Yeah, I want to see that. I was happy to see that. I'll take that.
Yeah,
providing you can back it up.
Yeah, I don't like the taunting too much, but I do love not backing down. Like there's a fine line there between looking at a dugout and sort of pumping your fist and getting it out that I don't know if it even mattered. And then there's like when somebody's calling you out or a herd of people, you're not backing down. I like the not backing down part. The actual
once you start it, if somebody responds, you're almost obligated to continue.
Absolutely.
It.
Draw a line, tell them to come out there and get you some. You kind of like that. Look, again, in the American League East, you got to have a little let. Yeah. I hate you, right? I got enough stuff to get you out. And on top of it, I hate you. So that's about time they find somebody like that.
Yeah, this. How to say this politely?
Don't say it politely.
No, this team seems to be awfully nice. Maybe too nice at times.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
too nice
the,
at times.
Well,
I can
right
see
now
some
the guys
getting the red ass. I might be a little better off.
Other than Vladdy, the guys that matter in the lineup are trying to make their way, trying
That's
to
true.
Be big
That's
leaguers. True. That's why they're nice.
Brendan in Alberta, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Brendan?
Hey guys, I just wanted to talk about Vladdy's season right now. He's got 178 hits currently. That puts him 22 away from 200. And the Blue Jays have only ever had five hitters ever get there: John Olerud, Shannon Stewart, Paul Molitor, Tony Fernandez, and the last guy to do it in 03, Vernon Wells. I just want to see them play him every day. And Vladdy and Bo, going forward, I would really like this franchise to try and extend both of those guys. Like, this franchise has been around for 48 years, and, like, God love Tony Fernandez, but the fact that he's our all-time hits leader, to me, like, I want to have
Tony Fernandez is a pretty good player, man.
Oh,
Tony Fernandez was a good, good player. He was really underappreciated, I think.
As a shortstop, I mean, was great shorthanded, but, like, I don't know. They kind of did a disservice to Carlos Delgado not giving him an extension as well. And, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to see a new name at the top of that all-time hits leader when Vladdy's career is done and have it be his name up there.
Yeah, you know what? Thanks for the call. Listen, it's interesting. I don't know where I was reading this today, but we know, of course, that Bo talked yesterday about wanting to sign a long-term contract here and win championships with Vladdy, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, we both said yesterday, I mean, that's all fine and well, but again, this is, the ball is in the Blue Jays court right now. Like, there's no doubt that at least one of those two guys, probably Vladdy, would sign if the Jays made him a market offer right now. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Bo, I don't know. There may be, there may still, There may still be some stuff happening there. But, yeah, listen, I said this. One of the things that really annoys me about teams, and one of the reasons that I like the idea of really making a serious attempt to get these two guys locked up is, it's like, look at the Blue Jays. Look at how much money and time they have invested in Vladdy's development. Between signing him, between going to arbitration, look at how much money he's made already. And it's almost at this point, if you let him go in the prime of his career, that does not seem to make a whole lot of sense to me from a business point of view. I've already invested money in this guy in developing him. I've invested a lot of time in developing him. And the more I think about it, the more I kind of wish teams looked at players that way.
I know the last couple of years we were talking about his body type and what position he'd play and, could he stay on the field? And now you after fouling the ball off the toe and having
he's
the X-rays.
Today.
And he actually went to the manager and said, I'm playing first. Like, I don't want a DH. I want to play first. He's chapped when he's not playing. And on top of it, he's a really good player. Generational players who want to play every single day and are chapped when they're not playing don't come around every day, and them dudes cost money. So it's
178 hits, Kevin. That's a lot of hits.
It is. Again, it's sort of the combination of all of it, right? It's almost hitting 330. It's the 30 homers. It's the 100 RBIs. It's the 200 hits. Like, it's kind of the total package, especially the way his season started, right? I mean, where he was at with his homers starting June 1st, where he was at with his RBIs. I mean, he wasn't really hitting for an average. And since then, he's been one of the best hitters in baseball. So, yeah, just to turn around and the way he plays every single day, when we were having so many conversations about his body type and how the heck will they find him positioned so he can actually get his bat in the lineup every day, and now he's doing kind of the things he's doing now. It's kind of special. But, again, it's up to the organization. We have really no say-so in this. We just wishful thinking and can root for it. And, as a Jays fan, if you're a big fan of Vladdy, hopefully they get it done. You get to see him for the next 10 years.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I'm
the bow thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows about that?
Yeah. No, I'm also with you in that, but I really do think not signing Vladdy would be an opportunity missed by this team, because regardless, even if Vladdy doesn't necessarily repeat this year, every year, he's still going to be in the middle of your order. And if you don't have Vladdy, you're going to be trying to find another Vladdy. And if you don't develop that Vladdy, you're going to be trying to find another Vladdy every 2 or 3 years in the free agent market. So suck it up and pay the man.
He's
your guy. Suck it up and pay him.
He's a great player who plays every single day. I mean, ain't that exactly what you're looking for?
Absolutely.
But
416.
Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, because you waited this long to pay him, now it's going to cost you big time money, instead of if you'd have paid him a couple of years ago, maybe it wouldn't have cost you as much as it's going to cost you now.
416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590-590 is the text line. We'll talk a little bit about Chris Bassett's outing today. We'll hear from the manager. We'll go back to the phone lines and to the text line. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
His bats have been getting better, so I think just trying to keep rolling him out there in spots that we can. But it felt good for him. It was a big swing for us tonight.
John, you said his at-bats are getting better. Why have you stuck with him when things haven't gone well in roughly 2 months' time?
He's got a great last name, and he's an easy guy to root for. You see the work that he puts in, and again, I think if our season was a little bit different, his season might be a little bit different. That's stuff we've talked about, but the fact that he's shown that he's had success here, you want him to try to get back to that, and only way you can do it is to go out and perform. So credit to him for kind of keeping his head down, for the guys in the clubhouse to continue to have his back. He's an easy guy to root for. That's kind of the easy way to put it.
All right, that was the manager, John Schneider, talking about his favorite son, Davis Schneider. Seems that way.
He's a nice kid. He is impossible.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that. I'm saying that with all love. All love. You know me.
Good for the organization, because a lot of organizations would never let a guy roll out there. It's like 2 for 80.
None of the organizations you played for would ever do that.
I hit 240 and got sent to AA. So
I know. 240 now, yeah. You'd be making 25 large.
I'd be hitting cleanup for the Blue Jays for sure.
Probably. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666. 0-5-90-5-90-5-90 is the text line. The Blue Jays 6-2 winners over the New York Mets. We've got to talk about Chris Bassitt, tonight's starter. I believe a 23-pitch first inning, wobbled a little bit, but vintage Chris Bassitt took advantage of what I would charitably call an interesting strike zone. And
hey,
all fairness,
welcome to my side, Jeff. It's about time. Took you long enough.
He's entitled to that. He's entitled to that. Poor old. It was a DJ Stewart. I mean, just had I mean, he had no idea.
Mighty Mo strike.
Oh, poor guy. I mean, honestly, I felt bad for him. But all kidding aside, you know, I'm just at the point now with the starting rotation. I just want good things to happen to these guys for the rest of the year. I really do. Because, you know, we talked about all the things these guys have gone through in recent years, and, you know, the four-man rotation, you know, sort of
not having an offense.
Not having an offense, not having a bullpen, trying to hold it together while Alek Manoah was going through what he was going through, trying to hold it together while Yerman Rodriguez was learning on the job. You know, a lot going on. And you know what? I'm kind of taken. It's something you talked about at the start of the year, and I think maybe we'll revisit it a little more in detail tomorrow. Oh, actually, we don't have Blair and Barker tomorrow. We got the post game show. Maybe we'll do it Thursday. But I think going into the year, we were both. I expected that we were going to see some sort of, maybe not a catastrophic injury, but I expected we were going to see something happen with one of the starting pitchers and they were going to break down. I just did. And I was scared with some of the stuff I saw earlier this year from Kevin Gausman. I don't know if you were. I was a little.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are guys with a lot of innings. They're not young, and they're not ancient, but they're not young either. And, man, if they can finish this season on a strong note, Kevin, that's maybe something we need to start talking about, because they're going to be important going into next year. And if Bowden Francis just finishes on a level, you know, at a level near what he's doing right now, you feel really good about this rotation going into next year.
Well, yeah, the Bowden Francis thing would allow you to do whatever you want to do with Rodriguez, right? You can massage him. You could, you know, start him after an opener. Like, you could do some things to figure out ways to get him where he needs to be. But I'm with you. Like, we root for certain offensive players that are struggling. I root for the rotation. Like, I root for the dudes that, you know, have grinded and will do anything, and Bassitt throw the kitchen sink. Like, you know, he is sometimes sometimes I got to be honest with you. He's a tough watch by the way he walks around the mound. And I mean,
I love it. I've grown to love it. I've grown to love it now. It's part of the shtick. It's part of the shtick.
Well, when it's like it was tonight and he's dominating dudes, absolutely. But sometimes when it's not, he's not dominating people. But to your point, right, it's the adjustments that Berríos has made. It's sort of the Gausman, you know, evolving the entire year, right? It's the 91-92. Why is that? And now he's figured it out, and he's throwing velocity the way he wants to throw it. Like, they're getting stronger as the year's going along, and that's almost impossible to say because how much they pitch. Like, it's just – so to see them do things like that, and just think if they could ever get an offense who's giving them 4.5 instead of 3.5 a game. Like, are you kidding? Like,
be nice to go out and pitch with a 5-run lead every, you know, maybe
that?
Three
turn
starts
it over
in a
to
row.
A shutdown pen. It's like a high school game, right? We'll get you to the 6th.
Yeah.
You get us to the 9th. We'll go to the playoffs, and everybody will be happy.
Go to Ian in Ridgeville.
Hey, I just wanted to make the point that I know everyone's been talking about getting a big thumper in the off season, and I do agree that we do need another bat in the lineup. But I was also thinking that another somewhat big name for the bullpen would be really ideal, because the way Romano's been this year, I don't know if you can fully trust him in the closer role next year. And yeah, some of the relievers the Jays have thrown out in the last few weeks have really been struggling lately. So I just think the Jays need another bullpen arm.
Yeah, Ian, thanks for the call. I would say they probably need another four or five bullpen arms, honestly. But, listen, we had Dan Shulman on today, and I think Danny's probably right. You asked him, does the Jays closer for 2025 in the team right now? And he said, well, yeah, Jordan Romano. And there just may be, with all the stuff this team has to do, it's entirely possible that he comes back as the closer. You know, I was looking at the free agent market for relief pitchers. You know, and maybe you can find a sort of a Ryan Stanek type guy, and I'm just pulling him out of my ass because we just happened to see him pitch last night. But when I say a Ryan Stanek type guy, you might be able to find another guy like that. But I'm almost at the point now where I think you may, and I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this because there's so much to do, but I think you may need to add an elite back of the bullpen arm. And even with Romano coming back, and I think the way you have to do that, you may end up having to put a trade together. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about, unless I'm trading for a guy, I don't know how I feel about trading for somebody who may not have done it yet in the majors.
How about you have a Jordan Romano in the seventh or eighth inning, have a Chad Green in the seventh or eighth inning, and go out and get you a no-brainer for the ninth inning? How about that?
I don't know how many no-brainers there are out there.
Well, I figured it out. Creative, Jeff. How you like that? Get you a couple thumpers. One thumper ain't going to do it. You need you a couple. You know, so you can maybe mix around George Springer where you want to put George Springer. You know, maybe you have Bo leading off instead of George. You can move him down the order. You know, the better bats, the younger bats are getting more plate appearances than George would get. I'm not saying you eliminate George because of the way he plays defense, but, you know, perfect scenario, get you a couple, right? I mean, again, this is sort of what you've been dealt. Like, it is what it is now, right?
It's, I mean, okay, I'm just going to say this. Like, I'm just looking right now at, you know, potential free agents. We'll start working in that. And I'm just looking at guys, Kenley Jansen, Ryan Pressly, Craig Kimbrell, Ross Stripling, Dave Robertson, Roldis Chapman. I mean, there's a whole bunch of, guys out there. I think Devin Williams might be. Oh, there's a club option there. That's not going to happen. I've got to think that they'll probably exercise a club option. Carlos Estevez, Clay Holmes. You know, it's not like the market is loaded with guys who are going to come out and you're going to go, hey, there's my ninth inning guy. There's a whole bunch of maybes.
Tanner Scott, Jeff Hoffman, Estevez.
Yeah, okay, now Jeff Hoffman, though, do we know Jeff Hoffman can do it, can do a whole year in nine innings?
Can pitch in the eighth
are
inning.
Pitching in the ninth?
I need eighth and ninth inning guys. Eighth and ninth inning guys.
There are guys.
They got a plethora of sixth and seventh inning guys. You need eighth and ninth inning guys.
Yeah,
you want to win? Like, this is, again, this is what you've been dealt. You know what you need. Like, you have no idea what you're getting from Jordan Romano. Everybody loves Jordan, but you have no idea what you're getting to get. So that's what I said. You got the ninth inning. You work backwards. Take care of the ninth inning. You got an eighth inning guy. You got a couple of them. And Green and Romano. And you can fill in the sixth and seventh inning with whoever you want to fill it in the blanks with and go out and get you a couple of thumpers. You're scoring a run more a game. You turn it over to a shutdown pin, now you're cooking.
Well, we know that Chris Bassett loves to talk about a lot of things, and he's definitely not a man of few words. And he was asked after tonight's game about the young guys on this team and the foundation of the team going forward. Let's hear what Chris Bassett had to say about that.
I think there's a lot of young guys that are learning what it takes to be a big leaguer. Wags at second base, Ernie's been unbelievable for us, Spencer's been unbelievable for us. The way that Snide's honestly has held his own, I know it's been a rough patch for him, but I mean the way that he's handled himself every single day has been something that I think all the older guys are like, you can stay in this league a long time, just the way that he kind of handles himself. I think obviously we're going to have to add some pieces to be a contender again next year. But I mean, overall, I think the way that the young guys are carrying themselves, showing up early, doing all the early work, working their butt off, I think there's a lot to like.
What do you need to add to this team?
Me?
If you were the GM, what would you like to add to this team?
I ain't doing that again, I'll tell you that. No, I mean, listen, all front offices have such a hard job, especially in today's baseball with there's so many things that go into it. There's obviously things that are going to have to be addressed, but I mean, overall, I think we have the foundation here. I mean, Bowden stepping up and things like that. We have a lot of great things coming, a lot of great things like that are going on right now that I think make their job a little bit easier, honestly. So, I'll leave it to them. I have full trust in them to do the right thing.
I guess we'll put that under fool me once, right? Of course, Chris Bassett. God bless Hazel for trying to press him on that. Chris Bassett with his statement of intent during the Chris Rose rotation or on the Chris Rose rotation a little earlier. And those comments were created a bit of a storm that he sort of kind of almost walked back. But look, you know, we've said this about Chris Bassett. Chris Bassett's a guy with, he's got ideas and he thinks about stuff. And yeah, sometimes I think he can be, used to be a word, fuss budget, you know, you used to be kind of a fussy guy. I think he wants to have success. You know, I go back to what he said at the trade deadline, Kevin, and he was asked, what are your goals for this year? You know, he said, I want to pitch in the postseason. Yeah. And, yeah, I think a lot of us took that to mean essentially, you know, I'd be open to a trade. That trade didn't happen. And you know, I think we take Chris Bassett at his word, man. I think he wants to win.
It's one thing to hear it from Blair and Barker. It's another thing to hear it from a dude in the clubhouse that matters. You got to remember, too, that Chris throws to some of the lineups that are making the playoffs.
Yep.
He knows how to, you know, how hard it is to get some of these lineups out, and he sees the lineup that the Blue Jays are running out there every single day. And right now, I'll say it, they're in the hard-to-hear stage. That's just life. Like, the American League East has gotten better. Some of the other teams in the other divisions in the American League are getting better. They're only going to get better in the offseason going into next year. You want to hold fort? You want to get after some teams and make the playoffs, you got to get better talent. And here, he's exactly right about the young guys. Like, they're doing some things. Like, Horowitz, you got to love him at bats. Mm-hmm. I mean, him or two strike at bats against lefties that he's doing some things. Where's he playing next year? Like, that's the thing, right? It's one thing to see it play. Absolutely. It's one thing to see it play out here.
Yeah, it's almost like you have a lot of partial pieces, and now what you're missing are the two or three big puzzle pieces that are going to make
carriers.
It all fit together.
Aircraft carriers. Like, you need dudes that can drop 40 and drive in 120.
Yep.
And those cost money. Again, it's not my money. And, you know, if Mr. Rogers is still willing to spend money, I would think you start there. Again, I've said this. Don't worry about what position they play. Worry about where you'd put them in the order. Yep. You know, if they're middle of the order guys, they get here, then you find a position for them.
And you've got enough. You've got enough guys with versatility that you can plug and play elsewhere.
There you go.
6-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the New York Mets. The third game of the series goes tomorrow. A reminder, it is a 3:07 first pitch on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Blair and Barker will be along following the game on both radio and TV. We will take your calls. We will take your texts. We'll break down everything about tomorrow's start. The Jays have the next day off, and then they welcome the St. Louis Cardinals for a three-game series at the Rogers Center. The season is winding down. Only a few chances left to get out and see the Blue Jays. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Charlottetown and Summerside, PEI. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.